Good morning, and welcome to the July 16th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today is Thursday, July 17th, 2025. Top of the front page is all the news is about Philo's 150th anniversary. Their sesquicentennial celebration is happening July 17th to July 20th in the center of the universe. This article by Diane Ducey. Late last summer, community leaders in Philo started to come together to plan the sesquicentennial celebration that's coming Thursday evening, July 17th, through Sunday, July 20th, as it wraps with the band 90s Daughter and fireworks about 9:15 p.m. That's on Sunday, July 20th. Molly Kelly, who's on the marketing committee for Philo's 150th, was asked about some of her highlights in planning the festivities. When we asked businesses and community groups for help, the response was an enthusiastic yes. Let us know what we can do. As a full schedule has been put together to appeal to Philo residents and their guests coming to visit. Kelly added, the small group of can-do folks who have spent the last year helping make this a special event for Philo has been just amazing. She noted the generous donors, such as JBK Farms, investing in the fireworks show, and Philo's Knights of Columbus, giving their time and resources to make the pancakes in the park on the morning of Sunday, July 20th. Plus, the Philo volunteer firemen, not only keeping us safe, but hosting a pork chop and hot dog dinner on Sunday, July 20th, after 6 p.m. at the Fireman's Field in the concession stand. On Saturday, July 19th, the parade steps off at 11 a.m. with Julie Pilotti and Lisa Quinn, part of that committee, plus a car show to follow in downtown Philo as Chris Payne, president of the Illini Collector Car Club and part of the Friends of the Philo Library. He said, it's great how the community is coming to help during this signature event. She'll also help serve up the pancakes and ice cream on Sunday afternoon, the 20th, just after she finishes calling out the bingo in Hale Park, which starts at 2 p.m. Also in the pavilion, some old-time kids' games will keep local children occupied as the Philo Country Opry, featuring Marvin Lee, plays their music from 3 to 5 p.m. Businesses like the Philo Exchange Bank and Premier Co-op and United Prairie contributed as sponsors to help some of the coordinators like Steve Stappenfield and Treasurer Rod Schweihart keep everything in the budget. Those in the Philo's Got Talent show on Thursday evening, July 17th, will produce some winners who will do an encore performance on Saturday afternoon, the 19th, before Lucas Rund performs at 4 p.m. Owen Knapp and the Rusty Strings take the stage at 5:30 p.m., and then the American Pie Band goes on at 8 p.m. New Twang City will be in the beer tent after 8 p.m. on Thursday and Friday. After 8 p.m., it's Next Thing Smokin'. There's a variety of ages represented in the lineup of music, as well as activities, vendors, thrilling rides, a kiddie tractor pull, and displays of agricultural equipment with fertilizer dealer supply backing the Farm Day Friday theme. Saturday has a 5K experience in the morning. Then, in the afternoon, take note of the Touch a Helicopter experience, face painting, and balloon animals, plus donations of canned food items and blood being taken from participants to help others. A big thanks to all of the people behind the scenes who are taking shifts and pulling together, coordinating details to make it a super sesquicentennial for everyone to enjoy in the center of the universe. That's Philo, Illinois. Details can be found in the top right drop-down of with a click at thevillageofphilo.com. That's all one word, villageofphilo.com. Sesquicentennial is coming up this weekend. Also on today's front page, we learn that federal food assistance changes will be threatening benefits for thousands of Illinoisans. Hundreds of thousands of Illinoisans could lose benefits from a federal food assistance program, while the state will be required to cover more costs under changes passed in the latest domestic policy plan. President Donald Trump signed the One Big Beautiful Bill Act into law on July 4th, making sweeping changes to social services programs, including Medicaid. Among the programs being revamped is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as SNAP. The bill institutes new work requirements for many people to remain eligible for those benefits and shifts some costs for the program to the states. Food stamps, that's SNAP, were first established in the 1930s during the Great Depression. Renamed SNAP in 2008, the program provides monthly stipends for low-income Americans to purchase select foods at grocery stores. While states implement the program and pay a portion of the administrative expenses, the federal government has historically covered the cost of the benefits. Under the law, work requirements to qualify for SNAP benefits have been increased to include people up to the age of 64, along with homeless people, veterans, and young adults leaving foster care. Previously, only people ages 18 to 54 had to meet work requirements. Those populations didn't previously have to prove that they were doing a certain amount of work, but when the changes kick in, they will have to do 80 hours of paid, unpaid, or volunteer work each month to qualify for benefits, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. The new law continues to provide exemptions for people who are physically unable to work, such as for pregnancy. The changes could leave 360,000 people in Illinois at risk of losing eligibility, according to the state. About 1.9 million people in Illinois were using SNAP benefits as of March, according to the USDA. But these will result in new costs for the state. Illinois and most other states will have to cover a greater portion of the costs for SNAP under the new law, including benefits based on the state's error rate of over- and underpayment of benefits. Beginning in federal fiscal year 2028, which begins in October 2027, the law requires states with an error rate greater than 10% as of at least fiscal year 25 to cover up to 15% now of the cost of benefits. States with lower error rates would cover a smaller portion of the benefits. Illinois recorded an 11% error rate in fiscal year 24, according to the USDA. More than 1.8 million Illinoisans received $4.7 billion of SNAP benefits in fiscal year 25, according to the state. If Illinois is made to pay 15% of the cost of benefits, it could leave the state on the hook for $705 million, or about 1.3% of the entire current year budget. Also beginning in federal fiscal year 27, which begins in October 2026, states will have to cover 75% of administrative costs for SNAP, and this is up from 50%. This year's state budget appropriates $60 million for administrative costs for SNAP. This is up $20 million from just last year. The changes are part of initiatives by congressional Republicans and the Trump administration to shift more responsibility for assistance programs to the states. The nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office estimates the changes to SNAP will reduce federal spending by $279 billion over 10 years, but it will increase state spending on SNAP by $121 billion over the same time. The Congressional Budget Office predicts that some states could abandon the program or choose to provide a lower level of benefits and not make up for the reductions that Congress is making to the program. Governor Pritzker and 22 other governors sent a letter to Congress last month saying that it's possible that states will have to leave or reduce the SNAP program benefits because of the new cost requirements imposed by the new law. We begin our community news and notes today with news from the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees, who are currently discussing the cost and location of a veterans memorial in Sydney. This article by Anne Roten. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees met on Monday, July 7th in the Sydney Community Building. Village of Sydney President John Finn brought the meeting to order at 7 p.m. following a roll call of trustees in attendance. They included trustees Dan Gattican, Tyler Bickers, Donna Hooker, Leroy Schluter, Brett Harris, and Matt Laurent, and the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance. Village of Sydney President John Finn asked for public comments. Sydney American Legion Post 433 Adjutant and Service Officer Bill McLean asked if the board was ready to move on the Sydney Veterans Memorial, if they knew if the Sydney Township Board was going to help, and he reported that it would be nice to have the memorial completed and be able to dedicate it on July 4th, 2026, which will mark the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Trustee and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers asked if the Sydney American Legion had met with the Sydney Township Board about the Sydney Veterans Memorial. McLean responded that it is a village memorial, so he thought they should be meeting with the Sydney Township Board. Trustee Bickers stated that the village has a problem because they are not the richest community and that the price of the Sydney Veterans Memorial had gone up quite a bit from the original estimate. President John Finn brought up the possibility of obtaining grant monies, but noted that that takes time and that you cannot expedite obtaining grant money to say that the memorial could be up by July 4th, 2026, that it may not be possible at this point. Conversation continued among board members and the general public about floodplain issues as the currently proposed property for the memorial is located at the northeast corner of North David and Main Streets. It was noted that they might not be able to insure the currently proposed site for the memorial, and that it might be best to go back to the original location adjacent to the Sydney Community Building, which would be safer with cameras in place and not be in the floodplain. Tyler Bickers made mention that a location adjacent to the community building had been set aside for the memorial, but that Mr. McLean and other Sydney American Legion members had not liked that location. Officer McLean responded by stating that he did not like the visibility at the community building location and that he thought the location at North David and Main Streets was much better, but that he would go along with locating it by the community building due to the floodplain issues at the David and Main Street location. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers estimated and asked other trustees to correct him, if wrong, that the Village of Sydney has approximately $50,000 that they could spend on the memorial, although the estimate for that is now at $110,000 plus electricity. And he thought that the electricity might already be set up or almost set up at the community building so that that would not be an issue if the memorial were placed in that location. Bickers additionally reported that a Sydney Veterans Memorial account had been set up at the Longview Bank and that there is currently $300 in it. Our correspondent contributed $100 of that money in the account, with an additional $200 from the Village of Sydney, which came from the Winston's Old Bank and the Sydney Saloon 50-50 raffle, which both benefited the Sydney Veterans Memorial. Tyler Bickers and Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Finance Chair Donna Hooker were unsure of where the money came from, other than knowing that there was $300 in the account. Our correspondent, due to this confusion, looked up history from past board meeting reports submitted by to the Southern Champaign County Today paper and provides the following information. President Arrowsmith asked Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Finance Chair Jonna Hooker if an account for fundraising for the memorial could be set up on the Monday, August 5, 2024, Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting. And she reported that they would need to set up a checking account for the Sydney Veterans Memorial and that a $100 deposit $100 deposit would be required to set that checking account up. A motion by Trustee Matt Laurent, seconded by Brett Harris, for the Village of Sydney to take $100 out of the Village's general fund and put it in a checking account at the Longview Bank in Sydney for the Sydney Veterans Memorial, and that motion was carried. Our correspondent then reported in the Sydney News, published in September 2024, of the Southern Champaign County Today paper, that while visiting with Village of Sydney President Jason Arrowsmith following a Tuesday, September 3rd, 2024 Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting, that the Harvest Fest raffle benefiting the Sydney Veterans Memorial raised $200. Returning to the most recent July 7th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting, President John Finn went on to say that the first things that needed to be done were to decide on a location for the memorial and see if the Sydney Township Board was interested in helping out with a donation for the memorial. American Legion Post 433 Adjutant and Service Officer Bill McLean was asked to attend the Wednesday, July 9th Sydney Township Board meeting at 7 p.m. to find out if the Sydney Township Board was still interested in donating towards the Veterans Memorial. Thus, the Village of Sydney could determine whether the township will help or if they are in it alone. McLean said that he would attend and Village of Sydney President John Finn said he will also try to attend the meeting. Public comment continued with Cindy Shepherd, state organizer in Illinois for Energy Builders, who brought a What Small Town and Rural Leaders Need to Know About Community Benefits Agreements pamphlets to the meeting. She distributed all the copies and reported that the BayWare, that's spelled B-A-Y-W-A, R.E. Beware Solar Farm East of Sydney Solar Farm Developers would like to meet with the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees to discuss some community benefits with the village. A Monday, August 4th meeting at 6 o'clock was scheduled to take place ahead of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting at 7. President John Finn told the board members that they need to be thinking about projects that they would like to see done ahead of this meeting so that they can be discussed. Our correspondent researched and found a link to what small town and rural leaders need to know about community benefits agreements pamphlet, and interested readers can view it at ruralorganizing.org, and look for the link to what small town and rural community leaders need to know about community benefits agreements. There was no additional public comment at the meeting, and President Finn moved on to ask for approval of the June 4th regular meeting minutes, a motion from Trustee Brett Harris, seconded by Trustee Dan Gattikin, to approve the Wednesday, June 4th regular meeting minutes was approved. Village of Sydney President John Finn began his comments with discussion about the possibility of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees live streaming meetings. The conclusion was that it was not a good idea, as Trustee Matt Laurent reported that the village needed better equipment. Trustee Brett Harris stated that he was afraid that folks would use the platform only to complain. Trustee Tyler Bickers added that he was afraid that the platform would be a live Sydney.scoop, reference to the Sydney Scoop Facebook page, and Trustee Leroy Schluter contributed that the village would need equipment to include microphones for each board member with on-off switches and other good equipment to live stream meetings. President Finn ended the conversation that by stating that he would like to have more comments from the public and more folks in attendance at meetings, but that he understood where trustees were coming from and that he will go back to the Sydney residents asking him about live streaming meetings and inform them that it didn't work very well when it was tried before and during the COVID-19 pandemic. Sydney Community Library air conditioning was next discussed with President John Finn's comments. Trustee Gattican additionally reported that concrete needs to be repaired at 306 Byron Street and that he will get a quote for the work to be done and have it available at the Monday, August 4th Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting. Let's move on next to the weekly news from the Philo Library, who tell us that it's not too late to take part in the Philo Library's summer reading program for kids. The final date to submit the reading challenge sheet is July 31st. If your child doesn't have a reading challenge sheet, stop by and pick one up. These prizes are worth the small amount of effort that it takes to earn three different awards. There is one sheet for the younger readers, those up through second grade, and the other one is for third through fifth graders. For the person who meets the first three challenges on the sheet will receive a candy bar. Complete six challenges and your reader will receive a gift card for a free individual pizza at Monocle's. Readers who complete all nine challenges earn a Barnes & Noble gift card. The weekend ahead looks jam-packed with activities celebrating Philo's sesquicentennial. Meet some of Philo Library's board members on Sunday the 20th as they help serve cake and ice cream. The library will be open for regular hours during the celebration. Stop in and purchase a copy of the Philo Sesquicentennial History Book that covers the last 25 years of Philo history. Have a great week, and the Philo Library encourages us to keep reading. Let's move on now to news from the Tolono Library, whose reptile show and Saturday in the Park were both huge successes this past weekend. Kids got to enjoy meeting a turtle and a snake on Friday, and on Saturday the kids got to enjoy spinning our wheel to win a toy or a book. Plus they had ice cream from holding a cone. On Thursday, July 17th, we have Kids Story Time from 10 to 10:30. We have a special guest storyteller this week, Sherry Harper, and therapy dog, Cooper. On Saturday, July 19th, the Museum of the Grand Prairie will be at the Tolono Library to teach us about artifacts and fossils. Lessons will conclude with a fossil dig activity. Registration is required. Then join us on Tuesday, July 22nd, from 2 to 4 p.m. for Kids Crafts. This is an in-house craft where kids can make their own magic wands. On Wednesday, July 23rd, we have Teen Lounge open from 5 to 6 p.m. Hang out with friends for a Teen Lounge scavenger hunt. Teens can search for all seven of Voldemort's Horcruxes in this puzzling scavenger hunt. The Tolono Library still has more to come for July. As always, please visit their Facebook page and website for more information on all of our upcoming programs. Next up, we have more news from Sydney, courtesy of Ann Roten, and this regarding Sydney Fun Days, which are Friday and Saturday, July 25th and 26th. The Sydney Improvement Group is looking for parade entrants, car show entrants, and vendors for the Sydney Fun Days on the 25th and 26th. If you have any ideas, please call or text Donna Hooker at 217-621-4929. Pre-registration for the Friday, July 25th Savannah Day Memorial Run and Walk finishes is already closed. Folks can still register the day of the race starting at 5:30 p.m. Registration is $25, the same as for those who pre-registered, though you may not get a t-shirt as supplies are limited. All proceeds for the Savannah Day Race go to support the Savannah Day Girls Athletic Scholarship, which is set up as a memorial in Savannah Day's honor. So far, the activities scheduled for Sydney Fun Days are huge. There's a Lego Derby build on at the Sydney Community Building on Friday from 3 to 7. There's a performance in the beer tent by Dakota Daniel Friday at 5 p.m., followed by 90's Daughter at 9 p.m. Breakfast will be served on Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. at the Sydney United Church. A kiddie bike parade for toddlers up to 5th grade will take place at 9:30 a.m. at the community building. Registration for a 10 a.m. kiddie tractor pool in downtown Sydney starts at 9, and the pool is sponsored by Nutrien Ag Solutions. Cornhole will be back in the beer tent this year, with registration at 10 and the tournament beginning at 11:30. Fun-to-go inflatables will be up and running all day starting at 11 a.m. at the Sydney Community Building. The Lego Derby will also take place at the Community Building from 11 to 12:30, and registration starts at 11, the race is at 12:30. There will be medals for all contestants and trophies awarded to the fastest racers. All vehicles are welcome to show and display at the car show, which will be in downtown Sydney, basically for a $15 entry fee for registration, takes place from 11 to 1, and then voting on your favorite car takes place from 1 to 3, and awards will be given out at 3:30. All the proceeds from the car show will support the Sydney Improvement Group. Then, coming up later in noon to 5, Bertrand's Horse Ranch Petting Zoo and Pony Rides will be here from Watsika. The Sydney Fun Days parade lineup is at 2 p.m. on Whit Park Road, and the parade will kick off at 3. The Sydney American Legion Post will have its meat raffle drawing following the car show, with awards being given out at 3:30. Luke Rund performs at the beer tent in downtown Sydney at 5 p.m. Saturday, and then Colton Tyler and the Truck Toppers, sponsored by the Longview Bank, will round out the evening's entertainment from 9 to midnight at the beer tent. Sydney Fun Days, Friday and Saturday, July 25th and 26th, promise to be a great event with many activities going on that includes something for everyone. Do come out and join in Sydney Fun Days. Next up, the Illinois Extension invites you to learn how to the art of canning your own foods. Learn how to safely preserve fresh produce and enjoy homemade goods year-round at Illinois Extension's Summer Canning Workshop Series. Join nutrition and wellness educator Rachel Mannon from 9 a.m. to noon at 201 West Kenyon Road, Suite 3 in Champaign for hands-on classes on different canning techniques and recipes. Each workshop features a different topic. July 27th, the topic will be pickles of all kinds. August 21st will be salsa, which is also a pickled product. Participants will make a product in each session to take home while learning about proper food safety, preservation methods, and the satisfaction of preparing pantry staples from scratch. Once again, this is Illinois Extension's Summer Canning Workshop Series. Next, we want to honor some of the outstanding students who have been honored by their universities for their academic achievements. Eastern Illinois University recognized academic excellence by naming a number of local students to their Spring 25 Dean's List. They are Macy Knudsen of Philo, Nolan Miller of Philo, Carly Keller of Tolono, Andrew Maurer of Tolono, Logan Suits of Tolono, Grace Renfro of Tolono, Harper Hancock of Tolono. Congratulations to each of these award winners at Eastern Illinois University. Millikan University has also named Becca Carter of Tolono and Kylie Block of Philo to Millikan University's Spring 2025 High Dean's List. while Audrey Rémol of Tolono has made Milliken's Dean's List for spring 2025. Cassidy Keller of Tolono has been named to the University of Mississippi's spring 2025 honor roll, while Kylie Block of Philo has graduated summa cum laude from Milliken University. Congratulations to all these outstanding students. With those good notes, I invite you to join us again next week for Illinois Radio Reader.